Tucker, do you believe really that flying saucers do exist or don't?
Well, that's a matter of semantics, Dave. What do you mean by a flying saucer? Do you mean a spaceship?
No. I mean an unidentified flying object.
Certainly. I believe unidentified flying objects occur and that many solid citizens see them.
What do you think they are?
Well, in most instances, we've been able to explain all of them as either conventional objects under extenuating circumstances or some form of aerial phenomenon.
Well, phenomena isn't an object, is it?
No, it's not.
Objects, we said.
All right,
sir. Let's rule out phenomena. What about unidentified
objects? However, it's originally reported as an object.
Well, if it isn't, it's a matter of semantics.
All right, that's right.
What was the other classification now that you just mentioned? Either phenomena or...
conventional objects seen under extenuating circumstances. An aircraft, for instance.
I see.
Unusual light conditions.
Right.
Or in a fog or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That opinion was given by Lieutenant Colonel Lawrence Tacker, U.S. Air Force spokesman on the question of unidentified flying objects, and author of this just-published book, Flying Saucers and the U.S. Air Force, the official Air Force story, it says here. Major Kehoe is our guest this morning, too. Major Donald Kehoe, do you believe that flying saucers or UFOs, unidentified flying objects, exist, Major?
Yes, I do, Mr. Garraway. And we've evaluated evidence in our National Committee in Washington.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I've confused the semantic issue here. I said both at the same time. Do you believe that flying saucers exist?
I don't like that nickname any more than the Air Force does. I believe that flying objects under intelligent control exist. And that's the belief shared by the majority of our committee in Washington.
Flying objects under intelligent control.
That's right.
Well, that's the belief of Major Donald Kehoe, U.S. Marine Corps, retired. Author of several books and head of the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena. This book, Colonel Tacker, has occupied me over much of the weekend. It was a very exciting book to read. I've read some of Major Kehoe's books, too. Air Force figures, I believe, show that there have been 6,523 reported sightings over the past 13 years. What percentage of these, according to Air Force standards, remain unexplained?
Well, I'd have to go back to the early days and admit that in the very beginning, when this was a new subject in, say, 47 and 1950, that the unknowns or the unidentified cases ran as high as 20%. By 1953, they were down to 9%, and now they run somewhere between 2 and 3%.
2 and 3%?
Yes, sir.
Major Kehoe, do you agree with that?
No, I don't, because the Air Force has issued a statement, in fact, it's repeated in the Colonel's book here, without any qualifications, that the Air Force has explained all but about 2% of the totals. I have here a letter signed by an official in the Air Force, which says that up to the end of 1959, there were 565 cases unexplained, a total of 9 4/10%, and incidentally, the official was Colonel Lawrence J. Tucker.
That's right. Well, that's what I just said.
I know, but you keep putting out this statement that the Air Force has explained all but so-and-so of the total reported, and it doesn't qualify. It merely it gives people the impression that you have only a dribble left of those cases.
What about that, Colonel?
Well, I think I stated it correctly when you initially asked me, Dave. I said in the early days that they probably ran higher. The investigative techniques weren't as good. It was a new subject. This is where science fiction type thing that Major Kehoe Rice got started.
May I read a paragraph from the book here? Many sightings by qualified or reliable witnesses have been reported. However, each incident seems to have an unsatisfactory fact associated with it, such as shortness of time under observation. If you saw Marilyn Monroe walking by and you saw her for 1 second, would that be adequate?
I'd probably recognize it.
That's what I mean. Inaccurate estimates of distance from the observer. How is that known that they're inaccurate?
Generally, just by a simple mathematical computation at the technical intelligence.
How do they know what the distance is?
Well, just based upon the size of the object given.
Well, if
they can determine.
But the object isn't given.
It generally is in the report. The object and the size, the approximate size.
We don't know what the object is. We give the size.
Well, they give the size. As it appeared in the sighting.
Oh, the angular.
Yes, sir.
Well, that doesn't say anything about the distance, does it?
Oh, they can work out distance without
taking. Well, sighting of an angular object like a star or a planet or anything?
Yes, sir.
Well, astronomy would like to know, as does the doctor say. It says, lack of photographs. Must a photograph be taken or something?
No, a photograph must be taken, but a photograph is good evidence.
Yes, but the lack of it makes it unsatisfactory fact.
That's right. Wouldn't it be much better to have one?
And a serious lack of, yes, but not having one, again, if Mary will know well by, you might not get to take a picture, but you'd show us she was there. A serious lack of descriptive data.
I sure know I've seen something, yeah.
I think you might know what you've seen, too. A serious lack of descriptive data to prevent definite conclusions from being drawn. Again, if Marilyn Monroe was by, would you have a serious lack of descriptive data which prevented definite conclusions from being drawn? Do you have to draw a conclusion?
Would you say you answer?
Not at all. No. When you see something and you describe it, do you have to draw conclusions about it in order for your sight to be valid? I don't think so, but there we go. Major Kehoe? Let's take you on for a bit now, after we take a first break of the day for 2 minutes. Talking with Senator Bill Packer and Major Kehoe on unidentified flying objects. Major, you've maintained for some years now, I believe, that the Air Force is kind of deliberately misinforming the public on this subject. How do you support such a serious charge?
We sent a confidential report. When I say confidential, I mean it was confidential to members of Congress in July and since then. And this states a digest of the evidence. Now, in this book, Colonel Packer says that all the congressmen who talked with the Air Force officers about this subject were completely satisfied with the Air Force answers. I'd like to mention the letters. I have all the letters here, and about this one in Washington State. Representative John McCormick, House Majority Leader, says the House Select Committee, which is the chairman, tried to get information, was unable to do so, and a number of them were convinced that there were unexplained objects. Representative George Wallace said on executive sessions that they tried to get it to the Air Force. The Air Force took refuge in security and said this was involved in the nation.
That's absolutely erroneous. He's never taken refuge in security.
Are you calling Representative Trump a liar? Are you calling the
Are you calling General White a liar? Did you read the photos of the book?
Colonel, if I were in your...
Have you called Mr. Horner a liar? They made
I don't use the word liar if I can.
You made it. You went around and brought it up.
All right, now wait a minute. You're trying to keep me from reading the list of
congressmen.
I'm not trying to. I know. I'm doing it. We have letters here from a number of congressmen who say they are completely and seriously concerned over the secrecy. This report they accepted as proof that these objects were
where you on some drivel I ever read.
What did you say about the forward, Colonel, that proves what?
I asked what he thought of John White's statement.
No, that's what I recall that you said. You said in reference to one of those of your right to a statement.
Yes, and I asked if you were saying that General White's statement was erroneous.
In regard to what? In regard to what?
In regard to the fact that no spaceships have ever been found.
Oh.
That they don't exist.
That wasn't what we were talking about.
No, it was not. And I would, if I can, I'd like to finish this. This dribble you talked about was approved by the former head of the Central Intelligence Agency, Vice Admiral Helen Carter, as I know, Colonel Anderson, Army Reserve, right before me from the Munger Roof Project, and about 200 scientists, engineers, and others, none of whom could be called crackpot types.
Right.
Well, in here, these people say that they are concerned with it for two reasons. There's a danger involved in the place of Air Force policy.
Well, there's going to be a human again, so there is no such policy.
The policy is stated in the book to explain away these Air Force Regulation 200-26.
In the book, too.
B-9, I know it, B-9 says all Air Force activities must reduce their reports to the minimum.
Section 18 says that all information will be given to the public and will be passed.
It certainly is not.
Yes, all information given out is that which has been reduced to a minimum, according to the
record. I would like to know your answer on this specific case. This is a key case in Washington,
I know that you disagree with the interpretations of some of our findings.
Colonel, if you're going to talk to me now and not allow me to present it, I have a statement in here by you in which you brush off the Washington sightings as a temperature
inversion. A temperature inversion. Exactly right.
You stated in there that these things were not picked up by radar at Andrews Air Force Station.
I did not state that.
Oh, yes,
they were picked up by radar.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, at Andrews Air Force Station.
That's
correct. All right, that's correct. They were on the radar at the National
Airport. I have here a signed report by an Air Force Road Observer, radar expert within the tower.
So I'm speaking of these blips.
And we don't consider those diesel experts. I have 4,000 hours on the radar, so.
That's all right. Most people are expert on radar because it's their livelihood. They guide airliners to the airport. If they're no good, if your air defense people are no good on radar, how are they going to tell us about Soviet bombers? Let's see, get to this. This person says that they were picked up on a blip on the radar. They had a group of them. They came in formation. They split up. They operated at speeds over 900 miles an hour. Now, you deny that.
Apparently, right.
At Washington Airport, the experts on radar track these things at speeds up to 70
miles per hour. Radar operator is not an expert.
All right.
Is the road
zero
operator,
did I understand that
this is there after drugs and two things on that blip? Is that down on the left? 30 seconds.
We have to go up because we find out of time. I see if anybody rules open, find out for yourself what you think of it. I find some exciting facts in here. Some I believe to be exactly right, some I believe to be exactly wrong, because there's self contradictory some of them. But I'd like to know more about it.
All right,
we'll talk to you about it further.
Right, sir.
We'll
find out more about these
things. What you think of it? Sounds like this book is the official Air Force story. Talking to Lieutenant Colonel Packer and Major Kehoe about unidentified flying objects, the Air Force story. There's so many things to say here that we've got Colonel Packer in the middle here. We didn't mean to do that. Colonel, you quoted General White's foreword to the book and the book is described as the official Air Force story. Nowhere in the book does it say it's the official Air Force story.
There's a chapter entitled the official Air Force position. But was
cleared
that way by the Department of
Defense. I see. So Thomas White, who of course is Chief of Staff, U.S. Air Force, has a foreword, but what he says essentially is that unidentified flying objects are investigated. So far, not a single bit of material evidence of the existence of spaceships has been found. You have to...
What he ties in there, Dave, is the fact that by an act of Congress, the United States Air Force is charged with the air defense of the United States.
Right.
And you can't separate UFOs from our air defense mission.
No.
We can't possibly do it. We're charged with it, therefore we go up. We stand on that time based on these things.
But must material evidence of the existence of something be found before it's real?
Certainly, I believe so. I don't think you have anything.
Do you ever have a piece of moon in your hand?
No.
Is it real?
Oh, I'd say it was, yeah. But then you have a spectrum analysis of light that they've taken. You've got... I'm not a scientist, I'm an information officer and a reporter, there are such things as photographs and spectrum analysis and mathematical counts that they can build up to a basis and come up with a pure scientific answer, not a vague statement by somebody that's a spaceship. I believe it is an act of faith. And of course that's all right if they believe it is an act of faith, but what I object to and is a... It's a countless harangue that the Air Force is withholding information. This is ridiculous.
Well, just saying it's ridiculous won't prove it one way or the other, will it?
Yes, it will. Oh, you mean my saying it's ridiculous? No, but I can prove it.
Well,
we have to withhold information.
You can't prove it because we have cases you have withheld. And if you have...
Major General Kehoe, who's head of one of the
several groups on who believe it's flying objects, at least flying saucers or spaceships. Let's continue and let's talk about that as best we can. We just get that, and I'll take another flight. The astronomy information given in here, as straight astronomy information in the chapter, it's easy to be fooled. We say many things are really astronomical objects. It's interesting to me because I've been fooling around with this for several years. Like 2011.
Well, you must be fairly familiar with it. Well, again, keep in mind I was reporting. I got this from the scientific people.
But it's in the book and it should be taken, therefore, as right. But an aircraft, you're speaking about the planet Venus now. As the aircraft moves through the atmosphere at an advanced speed, its position relative to the object naturally changes. Does the object therefore change its position?
The aircraft changes its position.
Oh, 10 miles out of 80 million. But,
oh, I see. You mean with the inconsistent?
Well, no matter where you fly on the Earth, Venus would be almost exactly the same place.
You're right, yes, sir.
There are about a dozen of those that I was there to stay up, but I want to introduce Mr. Kehoe.
Well, you try to remember the answer to by them change.
Not the bird aspect of the planet. That remains the same.
But the answer to the body based on shredding in the aircraft keeps changing. I believe that's what they
not
mean.
Measurably.
Oh, measurably. It changes all the time in production tables. When I shoot the stars or the...
Oh, you mean the rotation of the Earth?
Right.
Well, not in any period that you, when the aircraft moves through the atmosphere, you said the object appears to be moving. It doesn't appear to be moving. The sun doesn't appear to move in the sky.
No, it's the heading of the aircraft is what they mean. The actual azimuth of the body.
Oh, if you turn the aircraft around.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I believe they mean.
I just, Major, you have to say.
Well, I wanted to say that the whole thing rests on the weight of azimuth. We have gone into all the reports that the Air Force has released. 52 and 53, they were releasing quite a lot of cases to me. This board of advisors we have includes some of the top scientists in the country. Incidentally, Colonel, you mentioned Dr. Olivier from the American Meteor Society. You might interest you to know the American Meteor Society is a member of NICAP, and so is Dr. Olivier. He does not agree with the Air Force stand, and to take the seat, you also mentioned Dr. Carl G. Jung, the famous analyst. We imply there that he thinks everybody's crackpot. Dr. Young is also a member of ICAP. I have two letters here from him in which he says, I have no doubt that these things may be real. It seems this last book, referring to my last book, says it seems to prove that they are real. And he says, the Air Force policy is stupid and unpsychological because it will create panic more than it will help us.
If they are withholding information.
They are withholding.
They are not withholding information.
Well, according to all the congressmen that I have talked with recently about this, they say the Air Force is. Now, in 1957, we asked you for a number of cases. You didn't even have the courtesy to reply to those cases, and two or three of them are very hot ones. But since we're short of time, I'd like to hear
everything you asked for.
Only you have.
Yes, I have.
I asked you for the inside of the Captain Orion case where you people send an airliner to chase one of these objects. And the case of the FAA.
You never sent an airliner to chase one of these.
I have the tape, the transcript, it's in Senator Monroe's office.
You said you had it. I've never seen it. I never heard it.
Any time you care to hear it, I have the transcript here. I'll give you a copy of it.
All right.
You stated they were ordered to chase the electric course as fast as you chase this thing for 100 miles. All of this evidence has impressed enough people. Now, I would say you might question Senator Barry Goldwater, who's a brigadier general in your Air Force Reserve.
Right.
He said, I had lunch with him about 2-3 years ago. He said he was convinced that this thing was real. He has stated so later in the newspaper. He didn't say what they were, but they were real, and he says the Air Force clams up. You can't disagree with a man who's both a senator and brigadier general.
Oh, I checked that statement out. You made that on the last. You made that very point on the last program you were on with Dave Garraway, and I checked that out with his office. They have no record.
Oh, yes, they have. Oh, yes.
No, they don't.
Well, I'll show you the record. Anytime
right.
You care to come to our office.
That's what I mean. You keep talking about the record. You keep talking
you
about the evidence. We're all
well,
talking
don't get
about
back to personality.
You can't project evidence through the machine. No, unless it's a visible object, and there's no.
No. And then there's one more person I'd like to mention, and that's President-elect Kennedy. About a year ago, he wrote to one of our members and called it an important topic. Now, would you say that he was deluded?
I think it's a real important topic, and I want to stress right now that the Air Force doesn't deny the possibility of these things. It simply states that to date, there is no evidence to come up with a sensational claim that there are extraterrestrial vehicles in our atmosphere.
In 1948, and you have denied that document exists, but in 1948 there was a top secret estimate that these things were interplanetary. Now that was stated first by Captain Ruppelt.
I've never seen or heard of.
Captain Ruppelt, head of the project, stated that he said it was a black document stamped top secret on the cover, and it said that. It wasn't any opinion. Later we checked with Major Dewey Fournay, who was the monitor of the project at that time and is now on our board. I have a letter, which I'll show you later, which he said, I'm hereby confirming the existence of two documents the Air Force has denied. One of them is a 1948 estimate, and the other is his own 1952 conclusion, which you also have kept under wraps.
It's his conclusion. It's not ATIC's or the Air Force's. And I can say right now there's no such
conclusion. Sir, could you afford to say in your official position that there would be such a document if it were secret?
Could I say?
If such a document did exist and it were top secret or secret, could you admit the existence of it as a Lieutenant Colonel of the U.S. Air Force?
I doubt it. But, having a top secret term and having gone through all the documents, there is no such document.
Well, you just said that you doubt if you could say so.
Well, I can say there isn't one.
Burned, declassified and burned, according to Rupert.
Well, I just think that generally, can an officer admit the existence of any top secret document about
it? Yes, you can, and you can say you're in a classified area, and then, of course, it's war.
Well,
the situation doesn't exist with UFOs.
Well, then we have to take that statement in view of the statements you just made, I think.
There is no such document,
that's right. And that an officer can state such a fact if it exists.
That's right.
Very well, that's the question I wanted to ask, Major. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Well, I don't want to box you in here.
Go ahead,
of you. Will you defend this book, please? Because we're attacking it, apparently. Why is the Air Force so... why did you write an official book about this subject?
I felt the book had to be written because I felt the Air Force was being set upon by Major Kehoe, by NICAP, by the other UFO hobby groups who believe in the spaceships as a act of pure faith. I felt that I had to do it because of these senseless accusations against the Air Force. In line with that, let me for a minute show you that when the Air Force does investigate a flying saucer, it has that at its disposal. The resources of the Air Resources Office Command, the resources of the Air Materiel Command, the National Space Surveillance Center, Hanson Field, and Bedford Massachusetts, which can tell you now, on the first orbit, if Russia or anybody else has something up. We have all the university laboratories at our disposal. We have all the weather stations. We have countless radar stations. We have instantaneous communications with Fairbanks, Alaska, Wiesbaden, Germany, Japan, any place we want. And when I compare this to what your equipment probably is, a pipe ladder, it's stationary, it doesn't add up to me. I think
well,
it's ridiculous.
May I answer that, Mr. Garraway?
Yes, sir.
Our equipment includes about 200 men, including top astronomers, missile trackers, versus Captain McLaughlin of the United States Navy. Professor Herman Oberth, one of the great rocket experts. I could name as many as you wish, and we could cover every field involved in space travel planning. Our equipment is material which we take and hand over to these experts, and sometimes outside science. And
you value where it from? Your patient?
We get it from confidential reports given to us by some of your own Air Force people. And I think, yes, that's a fact. These things will be certified. Well, we had one on Austin Air Force Base in 1957. The Air Force denied that it happened. The CAA radar operator said they tracked this object at 3,600 miles an hour over Austin Air Force Base. But what it boils down to is you have to. You're under orders to deny it.
That is not so.
You have to. Your job is not so. If I were in your shoes, I would have to do exactly what you're doing.
You don't know anything about my job.
Colonel, I'm going to ask you to explain one case here. Last August, at Red Bluff, California, two state troopers reported they were sighting an object which at one time hovered 500 feet above their patrol car. It cut out their radio. It swept the ground with the red light. They pointed their own red light above, and this object immediately climbed at high speed. Air Force radar Red Bluff said they were tracking them. They told the San Francisco Chronicle and other papers.
Air Force radar and red blocks.
Wait a minute.
Did not track it, and they made the statement that they had nothing on the scope.
They told the newspaper.
I read the
statement. Hold on. Wait a minute. I'm not finished. We asked you about this. One of our members asked, and then we asked. You stated that these people had been misled by seeing the planet Mars, the star Aldebaran, and the star Betelgeuse. Now, wait a minute. We checked with the Hayden Planetarium in Boston and other astronomers. They projected this on the heavens. Mars did not rise for an hour afterwards. Aldebaran did not rise for 2 hours. Betelgeuse for 3 hours.
Don't you understand what happened?
I understand.
You had to come to the for 6 days. Do you know the temperature inversion?
I know exactly what
it was. It was a refraction and a mirage above the horizon.
How much for that?
Not for 3 hours.
Light
it doesn't pick up a star 3 hours.
Mars is just below the horizon. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm giving you what our scientific community told me.
You're putting your worry against astronomers who are every day working out problems like that.
I'm using the worry of astronomers. It works for the United States Air Force, sir.
Under contract and under orders to try to explain these away until you're ready to answer.
That's ridiculous. Why don't you get off that kick? You don't believe it yourself.
Well, General, I'm not going to indulge some personalities with you, but I will repeat my offer.
We have to take a station right there. No, we have to leave you. I don't know where we are. I wasn't very much interested in flying saucers, so I read your book. Now I'm fascinated.
Good, sir.
Because there's such an area of controversy here. Shall I say peace?